Well, good morning and welcome. This is Pastor Doug here, First Congregational Church, Woodstock. So glad to be with you today, and let me pray for us as we begin. Lord Jesus, thank you for this day. Thank you for your provision for us, the way that you care for us in so many different ways, that you care for us sometimes in bringing us blessing and ease and relaxation. And sometimes you bless us through hardship and difficulty. And Lord, to help us to recognize your hand at work in all of these things and to make us grateful people, Lord, that we would give you thanks and praise for all that you bring us and respond to your leading with joy and devotion. Lord, we pray that you would help us in these things. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. Well, today is Friday. Tomorrow is our drive-by food drive. And I've got a huge bag here, one of many that we've already had. We've already had people who have said, hey, I can't come Saturday. Can I come earlier? And they've dropped off. So I just wanted to take a look at some of the things in here. So this is some chili, some peas, some beans, some corn, and so a lot of great things in here for us to take to the Woodstock food shelf. Some canned tuna, and these are particularly great of things of protein, whether meat or beans or those sorts of things, vegetables. Fruits, and think, okay, how do I do fruits that I can do that are shelf ready? There are lots of different things like mandarin oranges or other canned, or they also have those that are now instead of being in a metal can, are in the plastic containers that can go on the shelf and provide good nutrition. So anyway, some things for you to think about, and we'd love to have you come by. Tomorrow, Saturday, from 9 to 2, 9 in the morning until 2 in the afternoon, we'll have masks on. We'll be out front here in the church, so at 36 Elm Street in Woodstock. We'd love to have you drive by. We'd love to be able to see you, but also to collect some of those canned and shelf-ready foods for our food shelf. So thank you so much for your participation in that, and we look forward to it. So this morning I'm going to read to us from Galatians, and this is one of the scriptures that's mentioned on your Take and Gather to Worship Home. I hope that you are taking advantage of these daily devotionals. Let me also say that I don't often in these Facebook Live devotions, I don't cover all of the scriptures that are there, and that's intentional. One of the things that I'm wanting you to do is to, on your own, go and dive deeper, right? Look at some of those things dig into God's Word, because we are surrounded 24/7 by lies and half-truths, and that's not being paranoid. That's recognizing the fallen, sinful world that we're in, and so to be able to stop, put on pause or mute or turn off any of the other things that are constantly whispering in our ear or shouting at us, and to look to the scripture to understand what the truth is as God has revealed it to us. So I'm reading this morning Galatians chapter 4, verses 1 to 7. Hear now God's holy, inerrant word. Now I say, as long as the heir is a child, he does not differ at all from a slave, although he is owner of everything. But he is under guardians and managers until the date set by the father. So also we, while we were children, were held in bondage under the elemental things of the world. But when the fullness of the time came, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law, so that he might redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. Because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Therefore, you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, an heir through God. The wonder of being co-heirs together with Christ. Well, and as we've been seeing in the book of Acts, right, that's where we're focusing on Sunday mornings. In the book of Acts, we're seeing not the birth of the church, right? The church was born millennia earlier of God's people collectively being brought together as an entity in Israel. And we see that particularly in his promise, God's promise to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And then he goes through 400 years of incubation of having God's people down in Israel where they're multiplying, and at the proper time he brings them up out of Egypt into the promised land, and in giving them the Ten Commandments is really where he births the nation or the collective people of God. And so what we're seeing in Acts is not the birth of the church, but rather the renewal of the church, right? Where God reorganizes and restructures the people of God as the church. And that the telemetry, right, is different. That in the people of God as Israel, the whole emphasis was bringing people in, right? The people of the nations being brought into Israel, encountering the God of the Scripture, and then joining together with the people of Israel. And there was the circumcision of Abraham that was the way in of identifying and making official that which they were coming to follow God, right? And so that whole direction was in. Now in renewing God's people and reorchestrating how all of that works, the telemetry is now out. Right, that God is going to take these disciples and all the followers of Christ and scatter them all throughout the world, and that now instead of all the nations of the earth coming into Israel and into Jerusalem, now God is taking his people that are sending out into all the nations. And we've been seeing how God is developing his people in that way, preparing them for this new direction of the kingdom of God. And that Jesus came proclaiming, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand, right? The king is now here, ruling and reigning, and has given us his Spirit, right? That's what this talks about in Galatians, that we now have his Spirit. And so the picture there is of Israel as the people of God in infancy and childhood, right? That even though they were inheritors, the heirs of everything of God, they were still under taskmasters. They were still under teachers and guides. And now, because Christ has come and it's no longer waiting for the Messiah, that we don't know his name, we don't know what he's going to do or how he's going to do it, all we know is that God is going to send the Messiah who will redeem his people. Now, in our maturity, right, in our adulthood as the people of God, we know the things of Christ. We have not only the Hebrew scriptures, but now also the Greek scriptures. We have the whole of the Old and New Testament in the Bible explaining all of these things as you would explain to someone who is now fully grown, right? That it's no longer shadows and just stories for the children to ground them in and to grow them up in. But now we have those stories being fully explained. And so this is what this is getting at, is that we are heirs together with Christ and that we have come of age, that we are to act as adults. We're no longer to be acting as children, but we are to understand as adults understand. We're to know the gospel. We're to understand how that gospel relates to everything about our daily lives. And we are to be responsibly living those things out. So this is what Acts is getting at as the deacons are put in place as a way of caring for the widows and the orphans, those who need our care together in the family of God. And Stephen, now taking that role of deacon, is explaining our history, right? That's what is leading, has been leading up to now what we're going to look at this Sunday, the beginning of what Stephen says in chapter 7. And we're going to look first at verses 1 to 16. But here in Galatians, that it's talking about all of these things, that we were under guardians and managers until the date set by the Father. But when the fullness of time came, God sent forth his Son, right? The arrival of Jesus changes all of that. It doesn't do away with what was done, but rather fulfills it. And that's what Stephen is getting at, right? That the Pharisees and the Sadducees, all the members of the high priest council and the Sanhedrin, are charging Stephen with blasphemy, with speaking against Moses, with speaking against the holy place of the temple, with speaking against the law, because they don't understand that Jesus is not the one who has come to do away with those things, but he's the one who's come to fulfill all of those things. He fulfills the law in how he obeys it entirely, keeps it in our place, and has won a perfect righteousness through his absolute and perfect obedience for us. And that he's gone to the cross, taking the penalty that the law demands for our sin. For the penalty of sin is death, the scripture tells us. And so Jesus goes to the cross and dies in our place, and then rises again from the grave on the third day, just as he had promised. You see, all of these things are helping us to understand the work of Christ in securing our salvation. And that now, with that salvation, we are called to walk in a manner worthy. We're called to do these things as Christ has called us to do them. So, loving our neighbor, whether it's with a food drive, or reaching out and finding out ways that we can help. Let me speak just briefly on one of the things that's filling everybody's news feeds and going on social media and all of these things up about the problem of racism in our country. And at its heart, the problem is not with race. The problem is with our hearts not loving our neighbors as we ought. And so a lot of folks are looking for how do I voice my horror over some of the injustices we've seen nationally in the last week. And I get it, the need for voicing outreach, for speaking out. And at the same time, what we're called in loving our neighbor is not just to speak out, but also to practically do things, to care for those in need. Now, here in Vermont and New Hampshire, we're two of the whitest states in the country. And so it's easy to feel like, oh, that's not something that has anything to do with us. But that's not true. We need to love our neighbors. We need to find ways to live that out. Not in a way of virtue signaling, not in a way of the Pharisee, right? That's always the Pharisee's way, is look what I'm doing. Look how I'm loving my neighbor. I remember one of my college roommates and a good friend through the years is Daryl Grady. And Daryl's African-American and I love him like a brother, but he would tell us that you know, anytime around MLK Junior Day or other times, you know, he was often white people's token black friend, right? Oh, hey Daryl, let me take you to lunch. Hey Daryl, let me do that, you know. And those things may make us feel better, right? But they're not really getting at the issue. The issue of our lovelessness for our neighbor, whether that's a neighbor who's a person of color, whether that's a neighbor who's you know, a rich white person, whether that neighbor is white trash, whatever that neighbor is, our love for neighbor is not just a nice thing to do. It's what's required of followers of Jesus. And so one of the things that I want to encourage us to do is to actively develop friendships with a variety of people. Yes, people of color. Yes, people of different socioeconomic position than us. Yes, people of different cultures, different whatever. But not to look for a token friend, but to develop friendships with people who are very different from us, from you, from me. And to look for ways to love them and develop community so that we know what they're thinking. We're not, oh, well, this person's speaking for all black people. Well, that, of course, is ridiculous. I don't speak for all white people. But to find ways, because what the scripture here is saying is that we're heirs, co-heirs together with Christ, with all who are in Christ, no matter the color, no matter the ethnicity, no matter the socioeconomic or any other factor. So how do we love one another in ways that honor Christ? Let's pray. Father, thank you for your goodness and grace to us. We pray that you would help us to love you and to love our neighbors. Lord, we confess that our hearts are often cold and loveless in lots of different ways. And so we pray, Lord, that you would warm our hearts, that you would soften us, that you would give us care and compassion for others around us, that you would help us, Lord, we pray in Christ's name. Amen. Well, may God bless you throughout this day. Thanks so much. Bye.